Hi, everybody. This is session six of the Legislative Groups for an Engaging God program. Doing these slightly differently and doing one recording for everybody so that we can focus more on legislating in the sessions we have together. So today I want to share a presentation again about looking today really about benches. Last time we looked very clearly about mandates. I want to look at the sort of mandates that require a bench and governmental perspective from heaven. So again, what is legislation? We've been looking at legislation. The need to legislate is to use authority to create, prepare, rule. And we've looked at where we legislate from and various aspects of legislation. Zechariah 3:7, a process of increasing understanding and maturity in government, governing the house, having charge of the courts, having free access to stand amongst the assemblies of God. And we've been looking at how we do those things. Last time we looked at the scrolls, definition of a scroll, roll of parchment or paper for writing on. That scroll may have a destiny, a mandate, a blueprint, legislation, a law, or many other things on it. If we have a blueprint for an ecclesia or a city of refuge or an area, city, region, not just a personal blueprint for our own lives, then it will need to have heavenly government associated with it. A government patterned after heaven. So what is that government? Well, we have in heaven, Father, Son, and Spirit, the bench of three, who work together in unity. They work together in unison. There is no competition between them. They're all equal in terms of God. We have the seven spirits of God who are before the throne, representing for us a bench of seven. We have 12 elders. In fact, there's 24 elders. And they have different functions, but 12 elders, a bench of 12. So benches are 3, 7, or 12. We have the four living creatures, the four faces of God, lion, ox, eagle, man. They carry the aspects of government, that how a bench works. So king, prophet, apostle, priest. The order of Melchizedek government is how benches function. And it's important to see that over the years, we've had a real battle between the pastoral earthly way of doing things versus the apostolic heavenly. And there's been a battle for control for government over many years. That battle is still raging. And it really is about establishing a shadow that reflects heaven, the government of heaven on earth, so that God can occupy that shadow with his living stones, with his presence, with his glory. And God spoke to me a number of years ago and said, do you want to be a church that hosts the people of God or the God of the people? And your answer to that will determine what sort of church you're going to be. And for us, we determined there and then we want to be a church that hosts the God of the people. And then God can administer to the people. So it's primary that we put God first. And therefore, having a reflection of heaven rather than a copy of heaven is what that's all about. This is the earthly manifestation of government. You have the Father, Son, and Spirit in heaven with a blueprint from heaven, which they release onto the earth. People pick that up. And in the past, that's often been apostolic, prophetic people. But before that, potentially pastoral people and others. And what they've done is build a mountain on top of that shadow and sat on top of the mountain. And we can do this for our own lives. But pastors, prophets, apostles who are on the top of the mountain. Now, that is a copy of heaven, but not a reflection. And that means that anyone who's occupying the shadow cannot engage directly to God for themselves without going through a mediation or a mediator or a covering. And we have a whole lot of things like apostolic coverings and apostles covering movements of churches and various things, which is a purely earthly perspective, and God has removed his authority from that. The way God wants it to do is the opposite of that. In heaven, a blueprint forms a shadow on the earth. A bench forms, whether it be ecclesia, city of refuge, as a foundation to release others to fulfill that shadow, to fulfill that blueprint, if their destinies are part of it. So there is a foundation of government and leadership rather than a covering of government and leadership. So a blueprint with an architect's plan gives us what shape we should build an ecclesia or a city of refuge or any other thing that God's calling us to build. Each blueprint has the heart and vision and the purpose. It will have mounting governmental spheres, at least 7 attached to it. Ours has a council of 12 that provides overall government working together. Now, in the early church and in the Hebrew culture, to have a house or ecclesia or a kahal, you needed 10 to form around a blueprint. There had to be a call, a vision, and then you had 10 that formed around that blueprint. A bench of 3, the angel of the house, who's the apostolic representative of the bench of 7, that formed the basic function of a house, and then others could be gathered to that. The priest bench of 7 brought a priestly agreement between heaven and earth. So in a sense, we're looking at between Father, Son, and Spirit, the 7 spirits of God represent the fullness of God and represent that and bring that into alignment. So an angel of the house is one person who, in relationship with the 3, ensures that the 7 operate from a heavenly perspective, not just an earthly one. And we had a lot of battles over the bench of 7 and them often being more priestly or pastoral in function, are very much used to engaging the people and trying to sort out the problems, and they firefight a lot on the earth. God is calling for all of us to operate from heaven and therefore to have heavenly agreement. And we found that working that out over a period of time, now we're working this in agreement to ourselves. And everything operates according to the 4 faces of God, according to that governmental perspective. So I've shared this before. This is basically our 7 mountains that we have as a church. We have our bench of 3, releases our bench of 7. The bench of 7 is part of the government of the church. We have 7 mountains of government in which they have their own benches, and then they have sub mountains of their mountains with their own benches. So ultimately, we have different levels of government fulfilling different functions, but all operating on the foundation of the blueprint that God's given and God's purpose for us. That's why we need to come together with one heart, one mind, and purpose around that blueprint. It's not what individuals want. It's not what we would like to happen. It's what God said we should build. That represents our picture of the bench of 7, 3, 7 mountains. It's expanding outwards, getting wider and wider as we begin to occupy our territory and expand that as the kingdom of heaven. It's expanding. No end to the increase of his government of peace. We're responsible for that increase. If the kingdom of God is going to fill the earth, then it needs to be through us. I'm totally committed that God uses an ecclesia to do that. You may have groups of ecclesias working together. You may have regional ecclesias working together, but God is going to establish it through a gathering of his people. So let's say we have a mandate and a blueprint. We call to establish that government around it. Last time, again, I mentioned this. Often one person gets a vision. When you come into agreement with that vision with God, it forms an arc of agreement, which opens up a portal for government to begin to be called into place. If you have 2 people, Jesus is with us, God is with us, it's a third, which means with 2 people, you can establish government because you're in agreement. But God wants a full pattern of heaven, which is 3. When we have 3 in government, God forms the 4th, which is the representation of the angel of the house. That opens a door between heaven and earth, so we can see an earthly outworking and a flow. Then we need to call for the 4th, and then God is central to everything we do as the 4th becomes the 1st of the group of 7. That's an ideal scenario, but there are many different ways this comes about, and God wants us to establish what that is. So who can be part of a bench of 3, 7, 12? And, you know, I've been asked these questions by people, so I want to answer some of the questions I've been asked. Anyone who God calls, effectively, who is willing to serve the blueprint that God's released. There would have to be, obviously, the ability to engage God in heavenly realms, a willingness to continue maturing as a Lord, King, and a Son. Anyone who's willing to operate in mutual submission and create a culture of honor, be open, honest, and transparent. Whenever you form a bench, you have to go through the process of developing relationship, because these things are relational. If they're not relational, then they're not kingdom. God, Father, Son, and Spirit are totally relational. There is no senior leader amongst a bench so that one person is in charge and the others submit to them. That's not a reflection of heaven. Many people are looking to have that type of thing. I don't believe that reflects heaven. When we've worked this through, you know, we've worked through the issues, we've worked through the relationship, we've developed openness, honesty, trust, culture of honor, where we accept that we all bring different aspects to a bench and we're willing to receive from each other to see the bigger picture. And therefore, one person isn't in charge. God wants us to be mutually working together. So that's an initial thing. It really means people who are willing to release others into their destinies. There's going to be many different sorts of benches, many different sorts of blueprints. And even within a blueprint, there are different benches. Obviously, 3, 7, 12 are within that blueprint. Our seven mountains have benches of 3, all within the blueprint. So many different groupings that we have to have. If the bench of 3, which is the initial foundation of the blueprint, does not operate relationally, does not operate in honor, is not open and transparent, then that will flow through everything, which is so why it's so important to establish the clear foundations of a bench of 3, because that will affect how everything else operates. And openness, honesty, and transparency, I cannot emphasize enough the need for that, a willingness to submit to one another, to open our lives to each other. Many times I've submitted things to our bench because I felt I needed a perspective in my own life and in things we were doing that was not mine. And I've been willing to receive what they brought. And a couple of times when I was in a situation where I was very personally involved in something, I just allowed the other two to make the decision because I felt they needed to hear from God, because I was struggling at a point in time to hear from God in this situation. And actually we came to a perfect agreement and we saw an outworking of that, which was very effective. So it's really important to establish that. Another question someone asked, what experience is desirable for one on such a bench? Well, God would rather have an amateur in the new than a professional in the old. So the desire and willingness to hear God's voice, to see what he's doing from a heavenly perspective, is far more important than an earthly experience of an old leadership type models. That's why some people struggle to believe, well, I couldn't do this because I've got no experience. I've not been to Bible college. I've not done this in the past. If you're willing to accept the call, God will mature you and equip you. If you're willing to listen and humbly receive what he's got, then that is a very good baseline for a bench of 3. Experience in engaging God, both within intimacy and in the heavenly realms, is obviously key, but we're all maturing in that. So these encounters don't have to be full-blown Hollywood productions. So long as we're willing to engage, learning to hear God's voice, learning to receive and perceive what he's saying and what he's doing, then that's the foundation. Humility, knowing one's identity. Jesus said, you know, all those who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and find rest. And he describes something, you know, take my yoke upon you. Learn from me because I am gentle and humble in heart. So humility and gentleness in our heart is a key requisite for what God's doing. Someone who is humble knows who they are and is willing to accept that from God. Someone who's gentle means a heart that's surrendered with the strength and boldness of a pioneer in spirit. That really helps when it comes to exploring and doing the things that benches do. I believe it will be the ability to bring a heavenly order, the order of Melchizedek perspective. So you may have within a bench king, prophet, oracle, apostle, or legislator. This is a governmental role. So it helps if you can bring those perspectives, but you don't have to have redemptive gift, ruler, prophet, teacher. It could be helpful, but it's not required. So long as we can come from a Keith Kingly perspective, we can engage the ark and see from the perspective of the lion or the ox or the eagle, that's the key. The angel of the house is very key, bringing the priestly function so that we have the 4 in agreement. So how is a bench set in place? By a democratic vote or by a heavenly appointment? By whom? Well, it depends on the situation. You know, if you're establishing a new blueprint and forming a foundational government for it from scratch, that will be very different from transitioning from an old church structure. And we've transitioned, but I've also been involved with helping people establish things from the beginning in different ways. So it really helps when you're willing to again seek God rather than trying to establish some sort of one size fits all. So I've been personally involved in both of those situations, in it bringing existing leadership. Then you have to share, talk a lot, be open, be willing to let everything down, and then let God establish something new. So a lot of what we have in terms of leadership are mostly new people rather than the people who used to be in leadership many years ago, because we've looked to engage and see the heart and the vision and what God inspires, so that we can see it from a heavenly perspective. We can then begin to bring that government from that perspective. In either case, we really must have a kingly and priestly agreement, an ark, you know, an apostolic prophetic agreement. So you have the royal priesthood engaging in heaven to form an ark. You have the apostolic prophetic agreement on the earth to operate in accordance to heavenly government. Now, often this is not necessarily a deliberate, overt thing that happens. Sometimes it's been happening and God has already been leading. We found that we'd already had three elders and a leadership team without knowing any of this, and that had developed over a few years. So we were in a place to understand, and when we recognized the bench of three and bench of seven, we can see how this fits. But as the original eldership, we actually all laid down those positions and then asked God to bring fresh revelation of who should be in those positions. And there have been a number of changes over the years as we've now been working this out in different ways. So the main thing is to let God lead, let God direct a transition. And a lot of stuff probably comes in hindsight rather than forethought, you know, from our perspective, because we've learned being a forerunner, you don't get to see what anyone else has done. And I can remember talking to Ian Clayton. He shared this in 2011 with us. So by the end of 2011, we had put a bench of three in place and had gone through this process. And then the next year he came back in August 2012, and we asked him to help us, you know, because we were struggling to sort of come to terms with how this worked and various things, particularly between the three and the seven. And, you know, his response wasn't that helpful. You know, you're on your own because I don't know anyone's doing this. Now we're seeing more and more of these things established. It's important that those who have the experience are able to support and help those to establish new things, because we've been through it. There is no democracy in heaven. There's always unity and agreement. So any bench would have to accept God's heavenly appointment by being one heart, one mind, and one purpose with him. There are benches which are on the earth which can be commissioned. So long as God has actually appointed people to a bench, it can be recognized on the earth by someone with heavenly authority. Ian Clayton did that for me here when he prayed over me, and I've done that for others. But in a sense, it's just a recognition of what God has done, not I'm appointing some bench on the earth because I have authority to appoint them, whether they like it or not. It doesn't work that way. Someone has to know they're called. Someone has to know and accept the responsibility, then it can be recognized on earth. And we've done this a number of times with our different benches. You know, we've stepped into heaven, we've seen a heavenly investiture, we've seen Jesus appoint them, give them a throne on their mountain for different benches and mountains. And then on the earth, we've done a practical outworking of that so all the people can actually see what we've done. And then we've prayed and released people into those roles, reflecting what was already done in heaven. I've actually seen people appoint benches on the earth and they were never, ever invested in heaven and they had no idea what to do. And some of them had never even been into the realms of heaven, which really isn't going to work. So it's really important that we get the foundations right and work with people to pursue this and not rush. There's no rush. God has the timing of these things in place. So what constitutes authority? A heavenly recognition of the bench of three. That's another question. Well, heaven recognizes alignment with heavenly blueprints. So if there's no blueprint, then there is no bench. And if we're forming benches because we like to form a bench or we think we should form a bench, but we haven't had a mandate and a blueprint, then all we're doing is forming something which is an earthly thing and not a heavenly one. Once we have a blueprint, once that's established, then the bench forms, the courts of heaven, the angels, the cladded witnesses, they associate with blueprints and they recognize authority. Now, any bench only has authority to be foundational for that blueprint, not anything else. So we have a blueprint for our ecclesia here. There's also a blueprint for our town. And I'm also part of a blueprint for our region. They all have different levels of authority. The authority I have within our town does not exercise authority over our ecclesia as a church, because that operates as a bench of three completely independently, but it's within God's overall purpose. And the desire is that we will work together to see his kingdom outworked. Another question: to what extent does the judicial arm or the power of the bench go? Well, this is again, looking back into maybe old methods of leadership. Authority in judicial matters is first worked out in heaven, in the courts of heaven, before anything's done on earth. And we always do on earth as it is in heaven. So whenever we do anything legislative, we do it from the realms of heaven first. Remember, authority is not over people, but it's a foundational support to encourage people to fulfill their destinies as part of the living stones in relationship with another and that blueprint. And some people's destinies may not be associated with the blueprint. Therefore, we encourage people to make sure that their hearts are in alignment, they resonate, so they can find their place within the blueprint. We don't appoint people to places within the blueprint. We ask that they would seek God and they would find where God is appointing them. And then we recognize those appointments. There may be some correction and guidance required, because the bench of three originally were judges. They were the judicial of the synagogue or the kahal. They made judicial decisions. So sometimes when corrections, guidance is needed, it must always be done in a culture of honor. We're always looking to identify the problem to find a solution. We're not looking to try and deal with people in a negative way. If there are issues or problems, then we want to identify what those problems are, so everyone can grow through it. So in a sense, the bench are primarily responsible for the integrity and the outworking of the blueprint, and that's where the authority lies, not over individual people's lives, not over their personal lives, but a bench there is to encourage maturity and growth in relationship with God. But everyone's responsible for that themselves. The judicial function of it in settling disputes, bringing wisdom, mediating potential settlements is something which I think, particularly when it comes to cities of refuge, then I believe that the bench of three will have that level of authority. But again, it's not a heavy-handed approach where we're going to enforce something. If someone doesn't want to accept that wisdom or that settlement, then they don't have to. You can't force someone to. But again, in a culture of honor, we want to look to deal with the problem, not attack the people. So we're developing a place where there's trust. And trust is the biggest issue when it comes to leadership. Previous experiences have created problems with trust, and we've had major issues with trust. And we had to deal with them in a court setting. We had to deal with people's fear of taking responsibility because of previous experiences of being put down and all disciplined heavy-handedly and all those things. It's all about love. Everything about the kingdom is love. So if we cannot love people, now love sometimes means speaking the truth and encouraging each other, but if we create a culture of honor, then we give people permission to speak into our lives. You know, we have a system which is often used in therapeutic communities and rehabilitation centers called the Jaharis window. And it basically says that you have a revealed self, that which you allow people to see. You have a hidden self, things you know that other people don't know and you're not prepared to reveal it. But there's also a blind self, things that you don't know. And that's why we need other people. Obviously, we want God to show us the things that are in our blind self, but sometimes God uses people to do that. So there is a willingness to be open with people and allow people to help us in growing and maturing. That's basic discipleship. Another question: what are the functions of the bench of three regarding those who are drawn to fellowship with the bench's influence, guidance, teaching, or leading? Well, to provide foundational support, to provide guidance in relationship to the blueprint. It's not any way controlling people. It is holding people accountable for the roles they're in, but it's very much supported, helping people to hear God for themselves. And this is the key in everything God's doing. He wants people to be able to grow in their relationship by hearing him. So we do not provide we're going to tell you what God says. We want to encourage that everyone can hear what God's saying for their own lives on a daily basis. Yes, sometimes we say we believe God is leading in this direction, or we've received this from God, but then people then are responsible to respond and resonate with that. They're not being controlled into it. So part of it is to be a role model of the new order. So that's discipleship by action, not just words. So we want to encourage to release people to fulfill their destiny within the blueprint by delegated authority, by empowering personal engagement with God, no coverings, no mediatorial relationships, always encouraging the person to grow and mature into what God has called them to do, and helping them by ministering to them to remove the blockages and the hindrances if necessary. But it's so important that people have a relationship with God for themselves. Does the bench function under the principle of total agreement before making decisions? Well, for us, absolutely. If there's no agreement, there's no unity, therefore there's no commanded blessing. We never make a decision unless we've all come to agreement. We always seek God for that agreement. We submit it to him, and we want to be in agreement with him and each other. It's all about the heart of unity. It's not looking for a position or winning an argument or making a point. That's why it's so difficult. If you have someone who's a senior leader in the bench, the other two will always defer. So that's why we must work together. As Father, Son, and Spirit do in total harmony, we're looking to create that harmony. And so we would rather wait to find agreement, to engage God together and come to agreement, rather than make a decision based on majority rule. We don't do that. We have it built into our constitution of how we do things. We'll only do something when we come to agreement and accept that agreement with one another. Now, because we've developed an openness and honesty and a trust with people and with each other, we've never had a problem with agreement. Sometimes we've debated things and talked it through, and then we've gone to God with something, and then we've drawn back together and say, okay, yes, this is what we feel God's saying. But there's never ever been a complete, well, we do not agree with one another, because we're working towards the same blueprint. We're engaging with the same God, and our hearts are one of submission, not trying to win a point or an argument. So we always find agreement comes quite easily. But obviously we've spent a lot of time building the relationship of trust with one another, that we learn to trust each other and we learn to respect each other's different views. I often bring an apostolic view. I bring a legislative view, a heavenly view. In our bench of three, one of the others brings more of a prophetic view. They often have visions or dreams that bring a revelation to it. And one of the others is actually from a kingly perspective, and they often bring order. So when we go into heaven, we often have these things come, and we present them to each other, and we just see how they mesh together and work perfectly together, because we're willing to be open. And that's how it works with us. So it very much needs developing trust. That comes through helping each other work through the things that arise. You know, if you're working together and this is a new thing, you have to expect that to arise. I totally believe that the whole senior leadership thing within a bench is the old trying to control influence the new. And I would encourage you to be very serious before you ever thought about that type of government, because I don't believe it's a reflection of heaven. So anyone seeking earthly recognition or validation of themselves or their identity from being part of a bench really needs to be willing to recognize and work through those type of issues. Sometimes there's a little bit of that in all of us, but we must be willing to allow God to purify and refine our hearts so we don't get our identity from what we do. We do because we know who we are. And that brings a freedom to what we do. So I think things will come to the surface that require transformation. Obviously, holiness is always the goal of transformation, and God wants us to be more like him, more reflecting his nature, his character, his person. What relationships those who cluster around the bench have with the bench? Well, this is a question someone asked. There's no hierarchy, no separation of leaders from others. We're all in the same sort of relationship with each other as brothers and sisters. A bench is no different from anyone else in perspective of God. We don't have, wouldn't it be good to have a relationship with the bench, because that will be good for us. It's like we really work hard to make sure that we don't behave any differently in a sense. We don't expect favors. We're not looking for other people to defer. It's a relationship. And, you know, and I have relationship with many people in the church at many different levels. Some are friendship relationships. Some are functional relationships because we do things together. But actually, there's no harm. We don't separate. We all want to see. We've all got roles to play in the kingdom. And those roles are what God has given us. They don't mean that anyone's more valuable than anyone else. So we want to recognize everyone's redemptive gifts and callings. And then we can receive from each other and receive the reward from each other. If we recognize people in a culture of honor, like Jesus said, if you receive a prophet in the name of a prophet, you receive that reward. So recognizing that everyone has gifts and callings, everyone can bring to the overall. You see, a bench of three forms a foundation. The living stones have to fill the shadow and build the blueprint. So it's very, very important that we establish the fact that everyone is important and has a role to play, and those roles are vital if we're going to work together. So we have no covering or mediatorial approach. We uncover everyone to hear God for themselves, and we continue to contribute to the growth and maturity of the whole as we all begin to function. So every one of us is, as a part of the blueprint here and our ecclesia here, just trying to fulfill our destinies, all called to mature in lordship, kingship, and sonship. You know, sometimes you could have people functioning in heaven with a heavenly governmental role, let's say as a chancellor, and they may not be part of a bench of three on the earth. Now, when that goes, you have to recognize that heavenly authority. And we have that here. Someone's been given a chancellor seal who's not part of our bench of three. They're part of our bench of 12. And we have to recognize that they have authority in that position. And they may well authorize something in a chancellor's court that as a bench of three we bring. You know, and so that's something that I would be very happy with. You know, so we're all, in a sense, have governmental positions as sons, and we're all gateways to heaven on earth. So every one of us has responsibility to outwork what we're called to do and fulfill our destiny. And we're all, in God's eyes, equal. He loves every one of us the same. We're all special to him. There's always accountability within any governmental structure. And this accountability is to God first, for the outworking of our destiny. We're all accountable for God for the blueprints that we're administrating. So we're accountable to each other as members of the bench for our roles. And so we're looking to help each other, to support each other, to encourage each other. And that accountability is when we talk and ask each other how we're doing, find out how things are going at home. We have a relationship in which we share life, you know, and that helps us keep grounded. And then if there's a problem or something coming up, we can recognize that and help support each other in those roles. So a bench of three, a Beit Din, an apostolic council, there are different names for it, provides essentially apostolic strategic direction and government. It engages heaven, brings apostolic blueprints, judicial authority to administer with righteousness and justice. So about receiving and bringing heavenly blueprints, vision, direction. Collating, reviewing internal and external prophetic revelation, seeking God as sons of Issachar, recognizing the times and the seasons, encountering heaven together. These are all things we do as a bench of three. We ask, what is God saying? You know, we're always asking that of each other. We're always asking God, tell us what you're doing. Show us what you want us to see. So we do release some prophetic direction and encourage people to seek God about where their lives intersect with that. Supporting others to outwork the things that God is calling us to do. You know, it's like bench of three don't do all the work. In fact, we don't do hardly any of the work. We encourage others to find their place. We do most of our thing is behind the scenes, supporting, encouraging, doing the preparation in heaven, calling things into being, you know, and when we've done that, you know, it has an effect. As a bench of three, we started engaging heaven and calling for the fire of God to come to begin to purify all our lives. And then people started complaining that the heat got turned up. And then we suddenly remembered what we were doing. And they said, I wish you'd told us that you were doing that. Then we could have expected it. You know, so it has an effect what we do in a preparatory way. So we do delegate authority to others, and we enable them to fulfill their own personal destiny and help and facilitate and encourage the corporate destiny where they're involved. So we can express that together as we all fulfill our functions. So we give people authority, we empower them, and we don't tell them what to do. We give them the boundaries and the guidance and the help. Now, when we first started, we weren't that good at doing that. You know, in fact, you know, we were probably two hands off because we were not wanting to be heavy-handed or in any way seem that we were telling people what to do. And actually, at the beginning, sometimes people need some guidance, particularly our Venture 7. You know, we empowered them. We said, right, you're empowered to bring government into the church area, what we do and how we do it and all these things. And they felt a little bit like, ooh, we don't know what to do. So we developed a way of being able to share and talk without it being, well, you need to do this, you need to do that. But it, we expressed in more of a way, well, have you thought about engaging heaven about this? So it was all about encouraging them to engage heaven, to find out what God was saying and doing, rather than us telling them what to do. And we have an example of that. When one of our bench of seven felt God calling them to establish some laws. And it was one of our mountain benches. And they brought it to the bench of 12. As a bench of three, we sought God about it and said, okay, what do we need to do? And my initial reaction was, well, okay, we'll just tell them to go back and find out what God's saying. But God sort of picked me up on it and said, well, no, do this together corporately, then they'll learn how to engage in that sort of way. So that's what we did. And actually, we all stepped in as a 12 with these three laws that were brought by one of our mountains. We all heard things. We pulled it together. We put through the process of establishing a law because we were teaching each person to be responsible for what they were given, but we provide the support to help them feel more confident in the role. So delegation is really important, but providing support and encouragement is also important. And giving people permission to get it wrong. It's like, if I did something, it would be very different from someone else do it. I have to give people permission to do it their way. That means we have to step back and wait some time and allow those things to develop and mature rather than coming in and telling people that they got it wrong all the time. So if there are mistakes, that's great. Let's learn from them. Let's evaluate. Let's look at what we can do better. So it's providing that sort of environment where people are free to have a go at things, not fearing, oh no, we're going to be told off. You know, so responsibility and fear of responsibility is another court case we had to do. And if we didn't do it, people were struggling to use the authority they were given because they had this impression that we were going to tell them off all the time. And when we first started meeting with the 12 and we were getting accountability from the benches and asking the mountains, well, what's God saying? What's he doing? And our bench of seven particularly, just because we asked them questions, they thought we were trying to tell them off, you know, and we had to deal with that and openly discuss it. And thought, well, why do you think we're telling you off? And there were a few explosions and there were a few things that happened. But actually in it, we were able to work through some of the issues and so that we can work together and we have an openness and honesty to be able to talk and share. So for us, we've released people in ministries, our bench of seven, the seven mountains. When they're established, you delegate the authority and you encourage them to go to God themselves and get their own blueprint for their mountain. Bench of three does not dictate what those blueprints are. We just support in the role. Receiving and bringing heavenly blueprints, vision, direction for external ministry. And for us, we have external ministry. Obviously, we're not just ministering to the church, the things I'm doing. We have ministry into our community. And we have various things where we're seeking God, encountering heaven about our local, our regional, our international things. That's all part of people being involved in that and their supportive roles, because our bench of 12 has mountains that are associated with that also. So judicial authority, church discipline, judicial issues, arbitration disputes between members. We haven't had to deal with a lot of that. We certainly dealt with it in a couple of instances where we saw a political spirit operating within the church. We saw someone trying to essentially affect and influence people behind the backs and cause trouble. And we had to seek wisdom how to deal with that, because in seeking wisdom, this is where it was very helpful to have three of us, because my initial reaction would have been very different from the actual way we dealt with the situation. And in this situation, although we were every right to actually say to the person, well, actually, you're completely gone against what we're asking you. We've asked you to come and talk to us. You're talking to everyone else, trying to influence them. Actually, we felt, no, we're not going to get into an argument and dispute here. So we sought a heavenly strategy. That heavenly strategy came from one of the other members of the bench. And what we did is God told us to make a position, make a foundational statement of what we believe, and stand on it. Don't argue with it. Just refer back to the initial position. So in this situation, that's what we did. We presented that to the person who was creating the issues. And we said, look, this is our position. We would ask you would respect our position. And ultimately, what happened was they tried to effectively influence people against that position. And people just recognized what it was and just ignored it. And after a few weeks, the person themselves, God moved them to another part of the country. And we were able to pray for them when they left, bless them in leaving, because we didn't create a, okay, we're going to put you out of the church. Because that would have created, although probably we had a biblical right to do so, it would have created, oh, look, they don't allow anyone to speak. You know, they control people there. No one's allowed an opinion. So we didn't play that game, because a political spirit always wants to be right and always wants to argue. So we didn't play that game. And that God gave us a strategy of dealing with that, which in the end, everyone was blessed by, and it outworked in a positive way for all concerned. So there may be things you have to arbitrate between, but I think for us at this point is few and far between. A city of refuge with a lot of people in it may be different, but we have to learn to do that. Now, particularly the heavenly court functions, you know, we have done court cases on behalf of the church. We've done justice cases and different things so that then we can release that and other people can then be blessed by the decrees and receive the mandates, the things that God releases when we do things in heaven. So a bench of seven, what do the bench of seven do? Well, I only can describe our bench of seven and what they do. They exercise the authority that we've given them. And we release that authority. God has appointed them. They felt called to the role. We support that appointment and we release that authority to be outworked within our culture of the church area. So they are responsible for ensuring the apostolic vision, the blueprint given to the church, is outworked and developed. And they carry that responsibility. They organize a lot of things. You know, they organize me. You know, if they want me to speak on a Sunday, then they ask me to speak on a Sunday. If they want to do something else on a Sunday, they'll do something else. They're just now working out that we're going to have three or four different meetings on a Sunday. Me talking to advanced people, another intermediate group, and a initial fresh start group with those who are not saved or on just become saved. So they've organized that. Did they need to ask our permission? Absolutely not. They're responsible for the area. Have we talked about it and shared? Absolutely, because we're always sharing and talking openly and honestly about what God's saying and looking to help each other work it out. So the bench of seven strategically support the vision of the church, and they ensure unity of hearts and minds operating within the people, helping everyone to work together. They release revelation and ministry to each person, helping them to find and fulfill their destiny. Because in our setup, they're responsible for our vision statements of seeing how, and that's helping people find and fulfill their destiny, helping people have intimacy and a deepening relationship with God, helping people to be free to fulfill their destiny. So they're responsible for setting up ministry. They prepare and teach the ministry teams and all those things. So they facilitate the development of supporting ministry. But always doing it from new order perspective, a heavenly perspective, not just as we just chase around trying to sort this problem and firefight here and there. It's actually seeking to get a practical perspective from heaven and actually have revelation before things happen, not just be reactive to situations, but be proactive, asking God for insight. And actually, we've received that. We received insight that there was an enemy strategy, that he was going to send 20 strong men, which were spiritual bodies, entities, to come against us in 20 particular areas. And therefore, we received that and we prepared for it. And when it came, we had a shield and we weren't affected by it. So they were a part of that, providing that administration. Developing new ways of administrating church activity from a heavenly perspective, using the keys of the kingdom, forgiveness, binding, loosing, doing things from that perspective rather than just trying to sort out all the problems on the earth. So we're always encouraging the new. And this took quite a time for them to get away from their old pastoral perspectives and how they used to do it. And coming from Mercy Gift when they first started, some of them that we have more of a widespread within our bench of seven because the personnel have changed as people have grown. Because we're not a big church, we're only a small group. Actually, some people had multiple jobs and multiple functions in different roles and different benches. So some of them said, well, I need to function on the mountain. And so I want to step down from this. We really encourage people to actually do what they feel God's doing. Supervision public of oversight of public meetings. It's like when I come to speak on a Sunday, I am in full confidence that the bench of seven have opened up heaven. In fact, they meet together before our meetings. For an hour before we meet, they pray, they declare, they call the angelic realm, they engage all that before anyone else even gets there. So they provide welcome, protection, direction for all the meetings. It's like, and I'm really confident in what they do because they're able to discern, they see things in the realm of the spirit. They've matured in that over the years. And now I'm very confident, you know, and that allows me on a Sunday, it's great. I just come and I enjoy it. Intimacy with God. I can go into the realms of heaven, go to the Chancellor's Court, do things. I don't even need to be considering what's going on in the room, particularly. You know, sometimes God will give me something or show me something and I have liberty to share it. But generally, you know, I'm very, very happy with how our meetings are looked after, really. Communicating with the church regarding notices, updates, events, prayer requests through public notices, emails, church website. Communication is an absolutely vital thing within any group of people, making sure people are given. And we were not very good at that at one stage, but the bench of seven have really taken responsibility for making sure that we let people know what's going on, that they feel included when there's something new happening, that we share, just to make sure that we're all together, that any way the enemy would come in and try and cause disgruntlement or problems is you know, headed off before it happens. You know, actually, we ask for feedback of current prophetic, pastoral, prayer trends, issues that are going on. We ask them to give us some feedback on that. Give us a health check. How do they see things are going on? So they give us a quick email summary in their minutes when they after they've met so that we can, again, talk about the things that we feel or give them a help. And sometimes they ask us for some advice. We seek God and provide that. As we're led. So everything in this operates in heavenly authority according to the order of Melchizedek. It's that governmental function that we're wanting to see on earth as it is in heaven. So we have practical ministry. We have a ministry team. We have an equipping track. They coordinate that practical ministry, making sure that that can be delivered in new ways through new ministry models rather than in old ways. So what are those new ways? New ways of ministry. Everything needs to be experiential. New ways of teaching, experiential. New ways of prayer, experiential. New ways of interceding, experiential. New, more effective ways of administrating the kingdom. New ways of partnering with the angelic realm, the ministering spirits, the service. Because we have four angels that come. We invite them. They minister with us. We have the seven spirits of God that show up, different things. They're learning to do that and they partner with that, and our church angel opens up and makes sure the atmosphere is clear over our meetings. So the new ways we're looking to embrace are to enable every one of us to be the person God created us to be, to fulfill our destiny. And we don't want to put people and shove people in a mold. The world has molded them and conformed them. We want to help them be unconformed to the world, conformed to the image of Christ. And therefore, if they're part of our blueprint, we want them to find where they fit. We don't have, okay, we have a vacancy for this position within our blueprint. Who's going to fulfill it? It's not how we function. We will call that person from heaven, and then we'll share and see people respond and see God appoint the people that are needed in our roles. So God wants to encourage everyone to search their hearts. We all need to hear God for ourselves. So to be willing to ask God, who am I? What am I called to do? How can I help fulfill God's blueprint here? Have that open desire. Here I am. God, what do you want me to do? So we encourage that and encourage people to believe that they can do more than they could have ever imagined or thought, that God's got more for them, that their destiny is so much bigger than ever that they thought it would be. So we encourage people to believe God's got a heavenly role for you as well as an earthly one, always encouraging people to engage in more. So our bench of 12, for us, our bench of 12 includes the angel of the house, which is the representation of our bench of 7. It includes one from each mountain. So that's our 7 mountains. It includes a representative of Freedom Apostolic Resources, that mountain, and then our 3 Shalom ministries, those mountains. And we are open for more because that adds up to 7, 8, 9, 12. But there, we're open for how that will be developed in the future. It is our governmental foundation. We do legislative things together. In this whole process, pioneers and forerunners don't have any maps or any books to follow. So we've got to seek God. And when we've gone ahead, help those who are coming behind. And that's my purpose in sharing a lot of this, is to help you to see there are some people now who've gone before, and they can give you some advice and help, but you have to essentially find it how it works for you, because it's not always the same. You know, we may be blazing a trail, opening doors, making a way for others to come. To do that, we have to be perseverant, patient, and persistent. You know, it's taken a long time to get where we are over the last 5 years. You know, I would have wanted it 3 years ago, 4 years ago, but actually it's taken 5. But now we've all matured to a place where, having done the things along the way, seen the milestones, then we're in a place where God is outworking it. We need new wineskins for new wine. It's been a long, hard journey for us. That journey is one which we're, I believe, now moving now into a new phase where we're starting to legislate, where we're starting to use the authority we have in establishing new things. But along the way, we've listened to God and we've looked to seek God's way. When the government of heaven is in place, God will come and fill the shadow of his blueprint, the manifest presence of God, his glory rather than his just presence. We're going to see increases of that. The atmosphere will be heaven and earth overlapping, the house filled with the glory of God. You know, we're going to see many, many different ways in which the kingdom is going to be manifested as we go forward. Rick Joyner said this: one of the greatest yokes of bondage enslaving human race is called the tyranny of the familiar. It is the universal human temptation to cling to the familiar, regardless of how bad or painful it may be, and to resist change, regardless of how promising it may be. And we've actually found that, you know, some people struggle with change. So you have to administrate change carefully in the right time scale, always encouraging, always helping. But sometimes you have to deal with the issues that are there, which are enslaving people, and God wants to set people free. You know, God wants us to mature and change, so we have to work through that. You know, God wants an amateur in the new rather than a professional in the old, so we can actually become mature in the new by leaving the old things behind. So I want to do a short exercise, really, in terms of establishing and investing benches. If you feel called to a bench, if you feel that that God has given you authority to begin a bench, maybe you're just the one now who's got a blueprint or a mandate, or you know you're part of a bench, I really would just want to sort of take that through a little bit and allow God to invest you with that in a heavenly perspective in that bench, so that then gives you the authority to begin to call the government around any blueprint you might have. If you don't yet have a blueprint, that's fine. Just allow God to meet with you in this exercise. So again, encourage you, just be open. Open the eyes of your heart. We have heaven open. We have an invitation to come. So let's, by faith, just step through the veil, asking Jesus to be our guide in this process. As we meet with you, Jesus, we again present ourselves as a living sacrifice. Ask you to strip everything away, remove every barrier or hindrance to us fulfilling our destiny and serving your purpose. We just Engage the cross, exchanging old for new, letting all the old ways, mindsets, behaviors go. Standing clothed in robes of righteousness, surrendering our free will to yours, decreeing not my will but yours be done. Now I would just ask, Jesus, that you would take each person today, and if they have a mandate for a bench of three, to be part of a bench, then you would release that mandate to them. If they need a blueprint today, again, to release blueprints, I would ask that you would invest people today, not just on their personal mountain, but invest them on those corporate mountains that require a bench of three to operate in government, whether for an ecclesia, city of refuge, area, city, region, state, nation, whatever their role, just release them into it. So I ask you just take each person right now through the veils to engage the arc of your presence. And we come and stand before your presence, the four faces of God. Open our hearts, seeking your will and purpose. Unveil our destiny today. Give us the mandates that we need to fulfill your purpose. As we present ourselves before you, before your name, we would step into your name, carrying the power of that name in your four faces, presenting ourselves, receive that order of Melchizedek, heavenly governmental perspective today. Just ask, Jesus, that you would just take each person to the mountain of the blueprint that they've received, or to their own mountain. And as we come to that mountain, the mountain of the bench of three, just take your place on that throne and allow Jesus to invest you with authority. The authority to be foundational for that blueprint as you come as a royal priest, and a willingness to be an apostolic prophetic foundation. Allow him to invest you, to give you all that you need to equip you, that you would carry that blueprint in your heart. The desires of your heart will be changed. You will be stirred, empowered, envisioned. So just allow him to invest you. And as he gives you perhaps a fresh mantle, a new crown, an orb of authority to legislate, you may want to call forth the other bench members, or call for people to engage the blueprint. Just be open, allow your spirit to lead. ask Jesus for any information, revelation, insight that you need. Receive the empowerment. Just begin to look from a heavenly perspective, seeing perhaps the seven mountains for this blueprint. Just receive the affirmation, the encouragement, the empowerment. Just feel God's heart of love for you, your willingness to embrace your destiny and your call. Continue with that activation if you want to, or if you want to stop there, that's fine. As you do this teaching, as you practice this, I'd encourage you to seek God for increase in revelation, particularly for Blueprint Cities of Refuge. God wants to call you into places of authority, to bring you in places of legislative government. It's a process where you're going to make mistakes. That's fine. God gives you that permission. You have permission to learn on the job. Just ensure you continue to seek him, engage him as he opens up this realm of bringing heaven onto earth, bringing the kingdom to establish it on the earth, to have those foundations that will draw people into their heavenly destinies. Bless you, and I'll see you next time.